I greet you this morning for the name of Jesus. I invite you to turn with me to John chapter 14, verse 27, for a text verse. The words of Jesus here, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Titled this message this morning, Partners in Peace. Jesus here is saying that I'm going to leave peace with you. And this was in his speaking of leaving his disciples. He says, I'm going to give my peace to you. Not a type of peace like the world gives, but my peace, he is saying. We think about the worldly peace. The peace definition in the Webster's would talk about the absence of turmoil, when things are quiet, when things are calm, when there is no war, it's peace. But the peace that Jesus is talking about, that he leaves with us, we can have whether there's turmoil or not. It's not contingent on the outward circumstances being at rest, but it's an inner peace that Jesus said, I'm going to leave my peace with you. I'm going to give you my peace. You can have that. The peace that comes from knowing Jesus Christ, the peace that comes from being born again, the peace that comes from the Holy Spirit within us, God's gift to us. That is what Jesus said, I'm going to give you. It comes, and it can be within us, even though the circumstances are out of control. It is a peace that rests in the fact that God is in control. Even though the circumstances are out of our control, and there's nothing we can do about it, except have faith, to trust God, to believe that he is in control. That is the peace, I believe, that Jesus was talking about, that he is giving to us. Like the verse on the board says, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. That speaks of something that is within, something that is not contingent on the outward circumstances, the outward turmoil, but it comes from within, from something that God, only God, can put there, that we don't have of ourselves. I'd like to read verses 15 to 31. He says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Now we know that the comforter he's talking about here is the Holy Spirit, but we know that this life is not going to be forever. The Bible tells us that, you know, we're just here today, gone tomorrow. We're just here for a short time. But here he is telling us that the Holy Spirit will be with us forever. So obviously, we will still be blessed with the Holy Spirit in heaven in eternity, forever. The words of Jesus. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeketh him not, it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." I like that, that it is the Spirit of truth, and that is the reason we can have that inner peace, is when we have the Spirit of truth within us, and we know that he doesn't lie to us. We know that he is always faithful, and we can always depend on him to shoot it straight with us, to always give us the truth. And that he is ultimately in control of the whole universe. Not just our little part of the universe, but the whole universe. He is in control of that from the beginning to the end. He created this universe, and he will end this universe when the time is right. As it's said in our Sunday school lesson about that time, speaking of when the seventh angel is going to sound, and there will be no more time. Now we are still in time. But sometime in that day, there will be no more time. It will be eternity, where time isn't a thing anymore. Hard to fathom that. He says in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And I'm not sure, is he talking about the comforter that he's going to send, or if this is another one of his promises that he is coming back. But be that as it may, he is coming back, and he did give us the comforter, the Holy Spirit. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. Speaking of his resurrection. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That promise that when we abide in Jesus Christ, when we cry out to God, he puts that part of himself within us, and he comes and he makes his abode within us. The Almighty God. A miracle, the work of regeneration. Verse 24, He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And we're blessed with those things today as we read the Gospels, the things that Jesus spoke to his disciples, that we can read them and we can understand and we can receive eternal life because of what was written. And as the Holy Spirit draws us to God, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And this he was speaking to his disciples in light of him leaving them in person, in the physical presence that they were used to seeing. But yet he had said he's going to come to them as the Holy Ghost. He's going to be with them. He's going to come and make his abode with them. So he said, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be troubled just because I'm leaving. I'm leaving my peace with you. I'm giving you that inner presence, that Holy Spirit, that will be with you. Verse 28, Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now, for us, as we look at this, we can see that that really was the best. You know, if Jesus would have just stayed and he would not have gone to the cross and given his life, we would not have the resurrected Lord and Savior that took the victory, the power over Satan and death and hell, the victorious risen Lord and Savior. And we would not be able to experience that power of his resurrection that we can experience as believers in Jesus Christ. But because he went away and then returned in the spirit sense with the promise that he is coming again someday to take us to be with him, we should rejoice in that, he is saying, because he gives us his peace. Verse 29, And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. And here I believe he was talking about the commandment that he got from the Father was that he would go to the cross and he would lay down his life for a ransom for us sinners, so that we could be reconciled and brought back to God through the saving blood of Jesus Christ. Psalm 119, 165 says, Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Is that possible? To not be offended by anything or anyone? That is what the scripture is saying here. Great peace have they which love thy law. Today we have a lot of people who claim to be offended by various different things. Obviously, they are not lovers of the Word of God. Otherwise, they wouldn't be offended. Yes, there are things that we do not agree with. There are things that are contrary to the Word of God, that militate against God, the very nature of God. But as Christians, as lovers of the Word of God, this scripture is telling us that in spite of those things, we can have peace. We don't have to be offended by those things. Because we are not looking at the here and now. We are looking at the eternal. And therefore, those things are just a part of the temporary things of this earth that God says is going to burn up. It's going to pass away. It's going to melt with a fervent heat. We don't have a continuing city here. Our foundation is eternal. The foundation of Jesus Christ, the rock, our God. Nothing needs to offend us and drive us away from faith in God, because of that inner peace we can have of knowing that God is in control in spite of what happens in this earth, in this temporary world that we're in. Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Do you want to be a child of God? He is saying that when you are a peacemaker, you're going to be called a child of God. And we think about a peacemaker from a Christian standpoint, a believer standpoint. You know, there can be peacemakers in the sense of trying to smooth things over, trying to give people, and, you know, ordinarily you might have two people that are at odds with each other, and then you have a third person that comes in and he tries to arbitrate between them. And he tries to be a peacemaker and bring peace between the two that are at odds with each other. Well, in doing that, sometimes if we're doing that from a unbelieving standpoint, we might even go as far as to lie, to try to give the other person a different perspective of the other one so that they will be at peace. But I believe as children of God, as Christian peacemakers, as believing peacemakers, we don't need to compromise or we don't need to lie in order to be peacemakers. We can shoot straight like God does, like Jesus does, like the Holy Spirit does. And doing that, I believe our goal should be, as being a peacemaker, is to help the other person or both of the other people to see the good in the other people, and thereby making peace. Not using the untruth, not compromising, but to help them see the good in each other. I believe that is God's way of being a peacemaker. To look past the faults, because we all have faults, and we're all going to have faults as long as we're here in this life. But when we can look beyond those faults, and we can see the good in the other people, it helps us to be at peace with each other. You know, the children, various young children here, sometimes there is a need of a peacemaker when you have two children that want the same toy. And maybe your children don't do that. Maybe you children don't have a problem wanting the same toy and you fight for it. So when you see two children that want the same toy and they're fighting for it, do you think God wants you to be a peacemaker? Now, what are some ways that you could be a peacemaker in a case like that? You know, maybe one way would be if you have another toy, you could say to the one who doesn't have the toy and is trying to get it from the other, you could say, "Well, you can have my toy." You know, to bring about peace, to bring about a distraction from the need of having that toy that they both want so bad. God's way of making peace. You didn't have to lie. You didn't have to use an untruth. But you could just lay your life down so that other people can get along. Your idea of what you think really should be, lay that down so that others can have peace. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Now we know that the choice of words is important, but maybe even more important is the tone in which the words are spoken. You know, when you do like the proverb says, you speak in a soft tone and you answer, you give an answer in a soft, gentle tone, it makes a difference versus when you have that anger and that feeling that is coming out from you and it is pushing your words out with force. And even though you might say the same word, the other person gets a different feeling. And, you know, that makes those feelings come up in him or her, and the same thing comes back at you, even more forcefully. And then you do the same back, even more forcefully. And the peace is disturbed. I'd like to look at Matthew chapter 10. Now, we talked a lot about Jesus leaving his peace with us. Now, let's look at Matthew 10, verses 34 to 36. Jesus has a little different saying here. He says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household." In Luke is a very similar scripture. In Luke 12, 51 to 53, he says, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Why is Jesus saying that? In light of what we just read in our text verse, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." And then he says, "I didn't come to give you peace, but rather division." I think we could answer that question with a verse from Romans 8 where he says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." So we have to take these verses in their context. Jesus, when he spoke in our text verse in John 14:27, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you," who was he talking to? He was talking to believers. He was talking to his disciples. Now, when he's talking here in Matthew 10 and Luke 12, he is talking about what's going to happen when you have people that are in an unbelieving family and they choose to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the Savior, as their personal Lord and Savior. And it brings division. And we have heard and read stories of cases like that, especially maybe in Jewish homes or in Muslim homes, where a son or daughter came to the light through the aid of the Holy Spirit, was convicted of sin and cried out to Jesus Christ and was born again and made that profession that I believe in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And that son or daughter was kicked out of the home, was rejected because of that. It brought division. And furthermore, not only was that person rejected, but if you, as a part of that family, would side with that person that was dead to this family, then you would also get rejected. You weren't even allowed to have sympathy, in other words, to show the sympathy, if you will, because that person was, in essence, dead to that family, as if they had died. I believe Jesus is not contradicting himself in these two different passages, but he is merely bringing out how that sometimes when people choose Jesus Christ, they have to do that. And sometimes maybe we'll come to that point where we'll have to do that. We have to do that in spite of the odds, in spite of the division. Radical Christianity that will stand up and it will choose Jesus Christ no matter what the outcome. Because ultimately, our peace is not about the here and now, but our peace is about eternity, the things that we cannot see. Our peace is from within, from what God puts there. And those people that make those choices to believe in Jesus Christ, they are the ones that have peace. Even if they are outcasts from their family, even if they are rejected and condemned from their family, they have the inner peace. The family that casts them out, that doesn't believe, they are the ones that don't have peace. And our heart should go out to them in compassion, that they might also know Jesus Christ and experience that inner peace. Jesus' goal, aim, desire for his church, for his people, for the whole world, is that they all may be one, as he said in his prayer in John 17. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. He says that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. That is the will of Jesus for his church, for those who believe in him. And he is not willing that any should perish, but he would have us all to come. And in Ephesians 2, turn to that. It says that he is our peace. He says in verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now when you look at that dark picture, it gives you a picture of someone who does not have peace. Someone who is in a state of turmoil, of unrest. No inner peace whatsoever. No faith. No hope. Turmoil. The absence of quietness and confidence. But now, in verse 13, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. It changes the picture completely when you put Jesus Christ into the picture. And when we believe in him as our Lord and Savior, he says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, the Jews and the Gentiles, he has made them both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So that the outward Jew, the Jew that is a Jewish by blood, has no more advantage over the Gentile. But we both have access to the Father through Jesus Christ. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, both Jews and Gentiles. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So I believe that this peace that God wants us to have, the peace that Jesus is talking about, that he is going to give to us and leave with us, is a peace that passes all understanding. The peace, the type of peace that the world doesn't understand, that the world can't see. How can you sit still and let this turmoil go on? It's because they don't understand. The unbelievers don't understand the faith that the believer has in the Almighty God. Cannot understand that. because the things of God are discerned by the Spirit of God, and the natural man, the carnal man, does not understand that. Rather, it is contrary to God. The carnal man is contrary to God. The Scripture tells us that. So, as this Scripture says here, He is our peace. Jesus Christ is our peace. And we can only have peace by being born again, by being believers in Jesus Christ, by abiding in Jesus Christ, by being directed by the Holy Spirit. And as we do that, as we come to Him, the Bible says that we are laborers together with Him. We are partners with Him in peace, if you will. He is our peace. What should be then our goal? What should be our aim in life? As we are partners together with Christ, laborers with Christ, shouldn't it be the goal of us as believers, as a church, that we would help others, as many as possible, to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ so that they can also receive this peace that we have as we are born again, as we abide in Jesus Christ? And not only that, but to encourage those, all of us together, exhort one another, encourage one another, so that we can keep on keeping on and not choose to leave the peace that we know and that we have for something else that might look appealing to us, but that we can abide in Jesus Christ and that we can hang on to that faith, that we can continue steadfast so that we can enter into glory with Him. 1 Corinthians 14:31, first part of the verse says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." That really is the will of God, that we have that peace, that we understand that. You know, when we consider the current events of our nation, the turmoil, the confusion, the unrest, where does that come from? Did God bring about that about? Absolutely not. He allowed it, but He did not bring that about. That comes from the carnal man. That comes from Satan, from the evil one, not from God. It is the opposite of peace. So what is our responsibility as partners in peace in light of the current events that are going on in our nation? And maybe referring back just a little bit to the vine out of Egypt. How does our vine look? What is our responsibility of filling the land? I had to think of the words that Dwight shared with us here some time ago, Dwight Miller, when he talked about prayer and fasting. He stressed the importance of recognizing that we have sinned. You know, so many times when we look at the current events and we look at our nation, my mentality is that they have sinned. They are the ones that have messed up. But what is our responsibility as believers in Jesus Christ, as being partners in peace? Isn't our responsibility to be shining lights, to be reaching out, to be showing peace, to be encouraging? Well, yeah. Have I failed in that? Absolutely. I have sinned. We have sinned. Therefore, in a sense, I am partly responsible for the current events because of lukewarmness, spiritual indifference, materialism, other things that have taken areas of my life. You know, have we not been as on fire as we should have been? You know, and if you would take every church in this nation and every one of these of us as churches would be on fire for the Lord, we would be partners in peace with Jesus Christ. We would be laborers together with God, completely surrendered to whatever God would have for us. Would that have made a difference? I believe so. Can it still make a difference? I believe so. God is still God. But first, I believe it's important that we see the need that we have sinned. We have failed, and we repent of that. know, whatever it is that has kept us from being that vessel that Jesus could shine through and show that peace that passes all understanding. You know, we might feel like this nation, this world is too big and we're too small, we're too insignificant. But when we unite as one in Jesus Christ, we have the power of the Almighty God with us. We are not limited. God's power is infinite. We are not limited anymore. When it is God that works in us, when it is not us anymore, when it's not my goal, not my agenda, when it's not our goal and our agenda, but it's God's goal and God's agenda, and we become one in Jesus Christ, we can make a difference. God makes the difference. When we have that peace, we are laborers, partners together with Him, Jesus Christ, with God. And as He says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. We can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Are the current events scary? We look at those things on their own terms, yes. From a human standpoint, yes. But Isaiah 26:3 says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And just like Peter when he was wanting to walk on the water and go to Jesus, when he looked at the current events and the wind, the waves, he was scared and he sank. But when his eyes were focused on Jesus Christ, he walked on water. He rose above the circumstances. And that is where we have peace. When we have our minds, our hearts focused on Jesus Christ, our goal is going towards Jesus Christ, doing whatever He asks us to do, being willing to lay down everything, anything and everything for Jesus Christ, we have nothing to be afraid of. We can have that perfect peace that Jesus said, I give to you, I leave with you. And we can be laborers together with Him. We can be partners in peace with Him. Let's kneel and pray.